welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe, because I could talk kayfabe. Can you talk kayfabe?
I don't know. I've never wrestled a match.
Oh.
Do I have to learn how to work first?
You have to you have to go to somebody's school and learn how to bump. I know how to front bump.
Really?
I know.
That's right. You do. Yeah, I know.
I know how to front bump. And I know how to run the ropes, and I know how to lock up.
Do you know how to? Have you ever taken a back bump?
No, I tried, but I wasn't. When I was. I'm Joe, by the way. That's Sean.
Yeah.
Well, what happened was, Kumpf had me in the ring one day. Him, Quan Chang, Michael,
Killer Kumpf.
Killer Kumpf. Yeah, yeah. Killer Kumpf of Buffalo Championship Wrestling. I don't know if he still wrestles anymore. But him, Quan Chang, who's also an indie worker in Ontario, Mike O'Shea, who's an indie referee, and Vito Scarfone, a retired now indie referee, they took me in the ring one day and showed me some bumps and showed me how to lock up and how to run the ropes and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. I had a good time with them. But I was like 22, out of shape, and wasn't too serious about it.
Yeah.
I think if I was doing yoga back then, if I had discovered yoga, I would be a lot more serious about it, because I think I would have been able to do it better.
Yeah, at least do it sort of good.
Yeah. Like, I think if I was to learn right now, I could probably do it, but I'm 36 years old. I'm way too old to be starting a career in professional wrestling.
Yeah, it's not like anything like DDP, who actually, you know, even though, you know, he was not like in the best shape he was when he was at his peak of wrestling when he started, you know, wrestling. But, you know, he was still an athletic guy. Like, you know, he's a basketball player, you know, and everything. So, I mean, he's had a little bit of that, you know, maintained. You know, me, it's like, you know, I think I was in my best shape when I was in, like, 26, 27.
Yeah, that was about, I was like, 26. I was probably about 175 pounds, in great shape. Went to the gym every day. Was living in Hollywood. I should have done it then, I guess. Even then is a little too old.
No, that's here's the thing. So the one time I was around that age, and I remember my friend Big Mosh, and I forget who else we were with, probably Blade or somebody.
Probably Blade, yeah.
We went down to it was like the Monster Factory. That was a trip that we took down there.
New Jersey?
Yeah, and we did like a weekend where we were at the Monster Factory to, you know, hang out with Jim Molineaux. ECW referee Jim Molineaux. I like how I speak about these things as if everybody kind of knows what we're talking about. But
well,
you know what?
I think the people who are listening to this podcast should probably do know who we're talking about.
You know what? So yeah, I'll tell you what. If you have any questions, you can shoot his up on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, at Angry Hero Sean, SHAWN is how you spell Sean, and
Joe. Sweatpants Joe.
That's Sweatpants Joe. So if you have any questions, hit us up. Anyways, but there was also the pro. Oh, because it's at ECW Arena. That was the one time I was at the ECW Arena. And it was Pro Wrestling Unplugged with, like, Johnny Cashmere of the Backseat Boys and, like, you know, that's right, Test was there and stuff like that. But anyways, they had a thing where they're like, oh, you can come and have, like, a tryout.
If
you you could do it. You know, I seriously considered it. I seriously considered being like, you know what, I'm going to try this out. I'm going to sign a waiver. And I'm going to train to be a pro wrestler for like an afternoon and see what it's like. And I decided against it, thankfully.
Good for you.
Because I probably would have been killed.
Yeah.
Because I can't. I've always wondered what it would be like to take a back bump, you know, in a ring, you know, like actually just do a back bump. But I think what my problem would be is that I wouldn't tuck my head properly.
Yeah.
100% that would happen, and I would do a bunch of them really well, and then I would do one wrong, and I'd be out of my – I would have a concussion, and that would be it for me. I think that would be my wrestling career. Is I would do a few bumps okay, and then I would get one really bad bump on my head, and I would never do it again. That's what my imaginary wrestling career would be like.
Yeah.
For Sean in this reality. Maybe in another reality, I'd probably be really good at it. But
if I, like I said, if I would have known about yoga when I was 22, I probably would have had Kumpf train me properly. And I'm not saying I would have been like an indie wrestler, but I would have gotten the training And that way I could have been more involved in matches than I was.
You could have been more involved in just wrestling because yeah. poor people would trust you to do stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like at Ballpark Brawl, like say they needed a plant to like, you know, hold the camera and then like take a DDT. That could have been me.
Yeah.
I would have been like that guy. I didn't really want to be a wrestler just because I don't like the way I didn't like the way I would look in tights probably. So, yeah, I don't want to wear tights.
I wouldn't mind so much wearing. I wouldn't have a problem wearing tights. I think
I'd be worried about getting a boner in the match. But then we went to that NWA Championship Wrestling in Hollywood show,
oh,
and
one,
all those dudes had boners.
Yeah, they had full on. You could see full batch.
Yeah,
a lot of those guys.
That show showed up in my Facebook memories not too long ago, and I was looking at it, and I was like, "This guy's got a boner. This guy's got a boner."
Yeah. Those are that was I haven't been to one of those in ever, forever. I mean, I feel like
that's the only one I've ever been to.
I used to kind of fuck around and like help them out. But by helping them out, I was like, hey, I'm on hand to help move things for you because I just want to be involved with wrestling, you know. And I had nothing else to do when I moved out here. And you know, Dave Marquez, I don't think he liked me,
no,
because I wasn't good at anything,
yeah,
to that he needed, and I was just like just some mark. You know, that Dave Lagana was like, yeah, why don't you bring this kid on? And I met with Dave Marquez once. You know, I didn't really have much I can do. I wasn't a trained wrestler. I had, you know, some film. You know, I had a film degree, but I mean, I didn't have really anything like as far as like television production to the degree that he's as good at.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, you know, he's got people that are way better at that stuff than I was that are already, you know, employed by him. You know, they're, you know, writing promos and producing shows and, you know, running the show. So, yeah, I just kind of would go to a few shows and just help people move things. And, you know, and I rang. Oh, no, actually, the one thing I did, I rang the bell for the matches.
Oh, you were a timekeeper.
I was a timekeeper.
Yeah.
I did that. I sat next to Excalibur. You know who that is?
No.
Okay, so, like, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, there's, like, this guy who started, his name was Excalibur. He wears a mask, and if you see, he's one of the, you know, guys on the indie wrestling scene out here in California that's pretty well known.
Was he wearing the mask when you were sitting next
yeah.
to him?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay. No, he's always wearing the mask. That was his gimmick. He's always wearing the mask.
It's like Dick Byer.
Yeah, pretty much. And but I kept on. I had nowhere else to sit by him, and it kept on ringing in his ear when I would hit the bell, and he could. But it was like I had nowhere else to go. I was like, where do I go?
That's his bad for sitting there.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, that's where they sat me. And I'm like, am I supposed to move the bell somewhere over there? Like, I mean, I've never rung a bell before to this degree. And I rang the bell for when Colt Cabana won the NWA title from Adam Pearce. It was very significant.
That is.
Yeah, so that's one thing I remember. So if I ever see Colt again and that wrestling comes up, which I'm sure it will, I can tell him about that.
You were the timekeeper.
I was the timekeeper for his one NWA title. Or maybe he won again. I think he won it again afterward because him and Pierce fought over it for like ever.
What happened to Adam Pierce?
He's a producer in NXT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's down in Florida. He's down at the NWB in Florida doing...
So he's not working anymore, though.
No, he's not wrestling anymore, but he doesn't need to wrestle. Well, you know, he's working as a producer, and he's, you know, probably very, very happy to be doing so.
Yeah.
You know, because he just gets to support his family by doing what he loves.
Everything we just discussed isn't kayfabe.
No.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk kayfabe.
Goddamn right.
We're going to talk Sports Review Wrestling 1991. What month is it? June of 91, with The Undertaker on the cover. And, yeah, we're going into the 90s in this episode.
So stick around.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents. And we're very uninformed, so...
Oh my god, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, and we are back here on I Could Talk Kayfabe. And Sports Review Wrestling, it's a magazine we like to cover. And this issue, it's our first issue in the 90s decade.
Yeah.
By this time, AWA pretty much done. Not quite 100% done, but done. All the territories are pretty much gone. And it's a two-ring show, really. It's WWF and...
WCW.
Is it? Yeah, it's WCW by then. It's not Jim Crockett Promotions.
No, it's WCW. It's then, you know, no longer AWA.
So it's pretty much a two-show. Yeah, there's some territory sprinkled in here and there. I think there's World Class is featured in here, but...
The World Class ain't featured anymore. World Class... I mean, you still got USWA. You still have...
Yeah, USWA. That's the one I was thinking
of. You got PNW. You got, you got the It's the Dying Days. It's the Dying Days of a lot of bigger... You know, a lot of the ones that used to be big. UWF has just kind of started. The Herb Abrams.
The Herb Abrams one. The crap one.
Yeah.
So the cover, which I thought was interesting when I saw it on eBay.
Sports Review.
Like,
so I don't think you gave the month. It was Sports Review Wrestling, June 1991.
And we have The Undertaker on the cover, but it's not The Undertaker.
Well, it is.
It is The Undertaker, but it's not The Undertaker. It's Mark Callis.
Yeah.
And you can see part of the background from like maybe like
another WCW show photo shoot.
Yeah, because he's got short hair. Well, shorter hair. And then like there's gravestones in the front for the Big Boss Man, the Ultimate Warrior, and Hulk Hogan. And The Undertaker is making the WWF his personal graveyard is the big headline in the front.
The Undertaker making the WWF his personal graveyard, and you got Big Boss Man who is dead in real life, Hulk Hogan who is alive, and he's got the most black phallic tombstone. Yeah. Oh, the irony! and then you got R.I.P. under Ultimate Warrior.
He's also dead.
Yeah. And this picture I love because. So yeah, you can clearly see where they cut out the part of the skyscrapers photo shoot.
Yeah,
just off screen, you just see Teddy Long's do rag in the background. it's funny because he's got the short hair. He doesn't even have. I feel like this is like the first picture he's ever taken as a wrestler.
He doesn't because back then he was wearing like the eye makeup, like the dead man.
Yeah,
kind of, and he wasn't. He's not wearing any of that. He's actually got some color in his cheeks. He's not pale, and he doesn't look like he doesn't look dead. He doesn't have like that dead stare. He's got a mean look on his face, but
well, he's mean Mark.
Yeah, he's mean Mark.
This is when he was Punisher Dice Morgan. So, yeah, and then in the corner we have a little box that says Sting and Luger's Dilemma. Keep teaming or start feuding? I don't know. Yeah, maybe they'll – I think that came true. That did come true. And then special at the very top, special photo section. Wrestle War 91, match-by-match coverage. Yeah, that was a good pay-per-view, actually.
Yeah, it was. That was a good one.
I've actually watched that one recently. It's pretty good. So what we're going to do is we'll go through the main story. But just real quick, I just opened up this magazine and – it has a video for wrestling's bloodiest battles. This is a very shady video because it just says like it has a bunch of random pictures of matches I assume were bloody. Some of them look like people have been stabbed and murdered or being murdered, and it's actually a very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that middle picture especially.
Well, this one?
Yeah, that one's like
this one here. Who's this guy? Is that Richard Belzer after he fell on the ground? What's going on? I think that's Dynamite Kid. I can't be sure. But my favorite is so it says too graphic for some viewers, featuring Scott Steiner in a bloody barbed wire match, which I did not know he wrestled in Japan like that. Maybe he did. I don't know if it was in Japan. I assume it's in Japan. Or maybe it was probably Memphis. But what the hell is he doing? This is 1991. Like, he didn't actually start wrestling until like 87. And he was in NWA for like two of those years. So what the hell was he doing?
There's a brass knuckle match. But it doesn't say.
The
brass knuckle match.
Actually, I do want to see Dr. Jerry Graham Jr. beaten with a metal leg brace.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Tommy, I don't know why I shouldn't laugh, but
and Tommy Rich is handcuffed and savagely beaten with a chain.
Yeah, that sounds like every time for my Tommy Rich, but and only $30.
It's a bargain back then
from Lambertville, Michigan. Let's Let's look at $3. Does anybody have this video? I should put this on Instagram and see if anybody has this video, because I would like to see it. I bet it was a really bad video.
Or at least, like, send it to us, and what we'll do is we'll put it on YouTube and share it with everybody.
Yeah. Let's all watch Jerry Graham being beaten with a metal leg brace.
Unless WWE owns the footage of this tape now.
Because they put the last Battle of Atlanta on there.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? So let's go to the main story. Let's talk about The Undertaker.
We've got to talk about The Undertaker's personal cemetery.
Undertaker be killing everybody.
Yeah.
Where the hell is it? Here we go. The Undertaker. And now they hear they actually have proper pictures of The Undertaker.
Yeah, it's The Undertaker, full dead man with a mullet. And the dead look on his face, the eye makeup.
Yeah, and he's, you know, and he's inset. He's tombstoning Jimmy Snuka.
With boots, Jimmy Snuka.
So, I don't know. You know, I mean, here's the thing with this story. I was not really aware that Undertaker wrestled. This is before the face turn. This is early 91.
Yeah.
This is like March 91. This is like almost like before WrestleMania. And he was already wrestled. I know he wrestled like Tugboat and Coco Beware. He wrestled a lot of, you know, lower level guys, but he was already wrestling Big Boss Man.
Yeah. According to this,
I mean,
there's matches, pictures with him in the Big Boss Man, yeah.
Yeah, like Big Boss, I mean, you know, I didn't know that was a match. That was kind of a weird, it's kind of an odd pairing for early 91, because I felt like, you know, Boss Man was already doing stuff with the Heenan family. And Undertaker was still, you know, being warmed up.
Yeah, I don't remember there being a Boss Man feud. Obviously, the Undertaker would go over in that feud because they're building him up, not the Boss Man. So
right,
because
he's not. Yeah, it would make or they could just they have to do probably a disqualification.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's kind of weird to put him in, you know, a match like that right away. Which nowadays they'll just throw anybody in with anybody.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter what your status is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So. But yeah, back then, yeah, I don't remember them feuding at all.
No. I mean, but there's
must have been a Saturday night's main event or something? Or?
No, that wasn't. I don't think they ever wrestled on TV. I'm almost positive. Outside of obviously later when he hung him from the fucking Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, maybe the Boss Man, maybe the Mountie needed the night off or something, and they're like, oh, let's have the Boss Man wrestle the Undertaker.
But he wasn't even wrestling the Mountie at this time. Like, yeah. Boss Man was only like, he was wrestling.
Is that when he was feuding with a Haku the Barbarian?
Barbarian, him and we're in 91. So, yeah. Because this is like, let's see, I can tell you when this stopped. This was. March 8, 1991. So I think this was, I want to say this was right before WrestleMania 7.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Boss Man was already, you know, he was just face.
Yeah.
And he was feuding with the Heenan.
He had just gotten out of the feud with the Haku and was going to start his program with Mr. Perfect then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is true kayfabe. I like this.
Yeah, this is true kayfabe. So it must have just been a house show or something.
Well, speaking of kayfabe, there's a lot of it's a very graphic article.
Yeah,
because basically it's like he, they have something in here that just says, introducing the Dark Undertaker, a man living on the dark side, faced with an opportunity to win one of the WWF's biggest events of the year. Undertaker opted for gore and violence.
Oh.
Because it was when he debuted at the Survivor Series 90 and he was beating up on Dusty Rhodes. And so apparently that was gory.
Yeah.
That's what they're describing.
But because Rhodes got counted out and then the Undertaker left the ring and kept beating him up.
But he's not really beating him up. Like, if you ever watch, he's just kind of like walking after him.
Yeah.
And Dusty Rhodes just left. That was it.
Yeah, you think they would have started a feud with The Undertaker and Dusty Rhodes. That could have been The Undertaker's first big feud, but I guess Dusty Rhodes wanted no part of The Undertaker.
The thing I do like about this article, though, is that cause since this is PWI, they always play that card where it's like, hey, WWF, don't you realize this guy was in WCW?
Yeah, they talk about that, how he was Mean Mark, and then they even bring up Paul Bearer being Percy Pringle and how he managed Rick Rude to the World Class Championship then had done nothing since.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest, I think that's pretty well that's pretty much how it went.
Yeah.
Because he basically putzed around, you know, like World Class for a little bit until he ended up in WWF, and then...
Then he became a Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah, I do like that they're like, well, you know, you should WWF, you should know he's from Texas, right? you know, he actually is from Texas, not, you know, he's not really a murderer. You know, he doesn't really know how to embalm bodies. We don't keep a kayfabe here.
Yeah, they're breaking kayfabe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
But then they talk about
They should admit on the cover that this is not a real photo of the Undertaker now.
But then they talk about his transformation to the Undertaker and how he's finally reached his potential. So when the Undertaker left Jim Crockett Promotions, he didn't go right to the WWF. He went and filmed Suburban Commando.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and then that's how him and Hulk Hogan became friends, and Hulk brought him into the WWF. It's like, you got to give this guy a chance. He's a good guy, and now he's the Undertaker, which is...
I didn't realize that until, like, sort of recently.
Yeah, that's kind of how it went down, was like, Hulk Hogan brought him into the WWF because they were friends from Suburban Commando. So Hulk Hogan brought the Undertaker in, and... The Undertaker gimmick wasn't gonna go to him originally. It was gonna go to somebody else.
Oh shit, that's right. It was supposed to,
I forgot who, but luckily they chose him.
Yeah,
because I don't remember who it was. If only I had my phone on me, I'd Google it. But I remember hearing it, and I was just like, that. Yeah, that would never work. I don't want to say Terry Taylor.
No,
but it was somebody where it was just, it wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who it was. I do like here real quick. First of all, two things. They speak to NWA expert Donald Wayne.
Yeah, whoever that is.
That's Bruce Wayne's brother. Bruce Wayne's cousin.
Bruce Wayne.
Bruce Wayne, Batman. See, because Batman also exists in this universe.
Oh, okay.
So you got Batman, and you got Bruce Wayne and Donald Wayne. And also on DC's Powerless, you have Van Wayne. Mm-hmm. You're not laughing at this.
I'm still distracted. It's still bothering me as to who was supposed to be the original Undertaker.
You know what? I'm bothered by that too, because I recently learned to do that, and I feel like a bad wrestling mark by not knowing that. I feel like
it was
in a
Jim Cornette shoot interview they were talking about
it. Oh, well, maybe if it was Jim Cornette talking about it, maybe it was Dennis Condrey. I don't know. Dennis Condrey.
No, it was somebody who showed up around that time, around the same time, and it would just been a weird Undertaker, that's all.
Weird Undertaker. Also mentioned in here, my other favorite part is Hulk Hogan. So the last, actually, one of the last paragraphs here is how he, you know, he's coming for Hogan.
Yeah.
And he's like, at some point, Hogan will most likely try to stop the Undertaker.
Yeah, because Hulk Hogan, they point him out, he's the policeman of the WWE.
The policeman. Even though he's literally fighting a policeman earlier in this article. They already have a policeman. Like, yeah. I thought Big Boss Man was the policeman of the WWF. But yeah. Apparently Hulk Hogan is a policeman, making Big Boss Man the Orange Goblin de facto.
I like how they bring up his run is similar to Earthquake's initial run, where Earthquake just destroyed everybody in his path until he faced Hulk Hogan, and then he became nothing.
I mean, he went on to win titles. He did okay after Hogan.
Yeah, he teamed up with Typhoon, and they had a tag title reign.
He became a shark.
Then he became a shark. He became an avalanche first. Then he became a man with a half a beard.
Man with half a beard. Yeah, one day when if my body keeps going towards the bigger side, I will cosplay as John Tenta with half a beard and half.
Oh, then he became Golgo.
Golga.
Golga, yeah.
Golgo 13.
Yeah.
He became an NES game. He was Golga. He actually had another tryout, like I think in like late 2000, where it was a trial match. You can find it online, where he came out back as Earthquake and wrestled, like, I think it was like Joey Abs or something.
Oh.
Yeah. And then he, unfortunately, he passed away shortly after that.
Yeah.
So, other stories in his book, Sting and Luger's Dilemma, Start Teaming or Keep Feuding. Well, basically, the gist of this story is Luger and Sting are really good buddies, and yeah. Luger likes to watch Sting exercise. And they're best bros, and at any time, one could turn on the other. Because because this is before Bash 91, Luger has the U.S. title, and, you know, they're like, well, does Sting want to be successful? What, you know, it's just a bunch of, like...
Best friends turning on each other never happens in wrestling. Yeah. It just never happens.
This is just a basically a boring article for them to talk about Sting and Luger and put a picture of them because they sell his magazines. Good picture of the rack here, though. Ric Flair in a rack. You know, it looks like, and this is, I like this picture of what, I don't know what the hell's going on. This is weird because it's from a weird angle of Sting and Luger.
It looks like Sting's got the Z-Man's boot.
No, he's got the Larry Zbyszko.
Oh, Zbyszko. Okay, that makes sense too. And Sting's just like, hey, let me in on this. And then in the picture below it, Sting has Larry Zbyszko's
boot. So he convinced them to get his boot. He's like, hey, look, I really want that boot. And I don't care if he's attached to it or not. I just really want it. And then Luger's like, fine, you have his boot. And Larry's just like, this sucks. other article, let's see. Warning to Davey Boy Smith, don't try to overpower the powerhouses.
Oh, you don't want to do that, Davey Boy Smith.
So, because what they're trying to say is like, look, Davey Boy, you used to be one of the British Bulldogs. And back then you weren't nearly as jacked. But now you're back and you're super jacked. But you shouldn't try to be as powerful and jacked in wrestling because you're going to hurt yourself in the long run.
Well, he's dead, so they should have listened to him.
He should have looked at this article and known.
Maybe Davey Boy Smith would be alive today had he read this article. He would have been like, you know what? They got a point. There's nothing wrong with wrestling the smaller guys. I'll stop doing drugs and I will be a good example.
Yeah.
And I'll, after my feud with the Warlord, obviously.
Yeah, you got to show up the Warlord.
I remember when they were having this feud, and Bobby Heenan, like on Primetime Wrestling, brought in a Queen Elizabeth lookalike, and she talked about how she wanted the Warlord to win the match because Bulldogs are disgusting dogs.
was this when they were in the studio audience?
Yeah.
I'm really waiting for them to get to that point because right now on the network they only have up to like early 87, and I need like the one where Vince is in there wearing the baggy pants.
Yeah,
you know when you're like, I mean, that's when you realize Mr. McMahon was like doing his own weightlifting on the side.
Yeah.
However, so here's a few things in this book. First of all, we have a WWF expert in this one.
Oh, okay.
Thomas Pillard.
Oh, Tom Pillard.
Tommy Pillard, noted WWF expert. I love these made up people.
We gotta get Dan Murphy on this.
Dan Murphy will know these people. He's gotta know. Dan Murphy is these people.
Yeah, he's gotta know Russ Wayne and. Or Don Wayne, whatever his name was.
So does that mean that he knows Bruce Wayne?
Yeah.
They get a quote from the Dynamite Kid. Which.
Wait a minute. Dynamite Kid.
Dynamite Kid.
They're going to bother the Dynamite Kid all the way in Britain.
They called up Dynamite Kid Collect.
No, I don't think.
Bill Apter called up Dynamite Kid Collect in 1991.
I think Bill Apter did the courtesy of paying for the call. I don't think they called him Collect.
Okay, so Bill Apter.
Dynamite Kid was a broken man by then. He didn't have any money.
But Dynamite Kid was in really bad shape. Was he already out of wrestling?
Yeah, I think so. He wasn't in the WWF. That's for sure.
Well, he definitely was. He wrestled in Japan a bunch, but he was not in good shape. And so they get a quote from him about, you know, how his strategy has always been for the present. And it's funny because they actually put him in a heel way because he's like, for all the smarts, Davey Boy never thought ahead, Dynamite Kid says. His strategy was always for the present. That's why he turned his back on me, because he never thought ahead, and that's why he's digging his own grave with the Warlord.
See, listen to Dynamite. You'd still be alive.
Also not included, what was cut out was him saying cunt.
He used to be me bloke.
He used to be me bloke. Now he's just a wanker.
Now he's a wanker cunt.
No, sorry. This got really sad.
Yeah. And it's not kayfabe. We got to go back to kayfabe.
Let's get back. Okay, well, speaking of which, let's go to WrestleWar 91.
Yes.
Let's find where was that? That's not Jamie Dundee. I want to talk about Jamie Dundee.
Talk about Jamie Dundee if we have time.
No, WrestleWar 91. Yeah, let's talk about WrestleWar 91, which is a good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
WCW's WrestleWar 91.
Go on the network right now and watch WrestleWar 91.
Match-by-match coverage. We had Bobby Eaton versus Brad Armstrong, which was a dope match.
Is that the dead Armstrong?
Yes.
Okay.
And also we get to see Bobby Eaton's, I think he had one of the best backbreakers he used to do, where he did an atomic, started out as an atomic drop, did the springboard off the guy with the legs off the rope and then brought him down over his knee into like the like
just
the
devastating.
Yeah, which is that's Bobby Eaton, extremely underrated.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I think that's not everybody knows this.
I totally agree with like the whole Midnight Express, Fabulous Ones, all those guys underrated, just great workers.
Yeah. Junkyard Dog.
See, this is kind of interesting. So you have Junkyard Dog teaming with Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich. Because when I think of the tag team of Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich, I think of the York Foundation and they were heels.
No, but this was before any of them turned.
Yeah.
Because the only person in the York Foundation at this time was Terry Taylor.
Yeah.
So, Ricky Morton and Tommy Rich were still doing the de facto Rock and Roll Express team, and then he just had Junkyard Dogs. So.
Still my favorite gimmick of Terry Taylor, the York Foundation, the Taylor Made Man.
I thought the York Foundation was good. A lot of people shit on it.
I liked it as a kid. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I wanted them to get their ass kicked. I couldn't understand why it is that Dustin Rhodes couldn't beat them.
Yeah.
You know, he never won enough. But yeah, it was them against State Patrol and Big Cat, aka Mr. Hughes. So you actually have a lot of future York Foundation in this.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Who was the State Patrol?
That was Buddy Wayne Parker and Dale. What was his gimmick? James. They call him like James Earl Jones or James Earl Ray
something like that. Yeah.
It was something else. Earl James Jones, but he was Dale VC, and I don't know why the hell Big Cat's there, but they just had to have something.
Mr. Hughes is another one of those guys who was like, I thought that he was underutilized. He could have been more than...
He was one of those guys who I thought was a lot better than he actually was.
Yeah.
People often forget that he was in WWF for like a couple months in 93. Like he had a feud with The Undertaker for a minute.
He had a feud with Undertaker. Then he came back later on and was Chris Jericho's bodyguard.
Yeah, and he wore a funny vest.
Yeah.
No, he came back after that. After Undertaker, he came back to be a Triple H's bodyguard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then he got caught in an S&M club. He got fired.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him back to be Jericho's bodyguard for like 2 weeks, and then he left.
Yeah.
And that was it for Mr. Hughes.
By the time he was Jericho's bodyguard, he was like a slim portion of what he used to be, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty slim.
We have a Japanese women's match. I'm not even going to say these names.
Yeah.
I'm just going to embarrass myself. But
go and look at the matches. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was probably a really good match. I can't remember that match that well, but I know it was probably it's definitely different from everything else on the card, but it was probably very good.
Miss A, I can say her name.
Miss A. I remember reading this as a kid and thinking she was related to the high school principal at the time who was known as Mr. A.
Oh, Mr. A.
And I was like, oh, Miss A, that must be his wife.
Yeah.
the Polish man in Cheektowaga is married to the Japanese woman in WCW. Dustin Rhodes versus Buddy Landell. Whatever.
Yeah.
Young Pistols versus the Royal Family, which I always wanted the Young Pistols to be better because I remember at the time when I first started watching, when I was really watching WCW at this time, and they were feuding with the Freebirds.
Mm-hmm.
And, they always would lose. But here they are against the Royal Family, Jack Victory or Jacko Victory, and Rip Morgan, who I made the Royal Family in my game.
Good.
I'll have to show them to you.
Yeah.
Rip Morgan, actually, pretty good. Rip Morgan's a kind of a big brawler type who I'm kind of disappointed in getting more of his due. Terry Taylor versus Tom Zink. So, he was right in the early stages of the York Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Hansen versus Big Van Vader. This one gets a full page of pictures.
This is the match where they became best friends and Vader would induct him into the Hall of Fame years later.
Yeah, yeah.
Stan Hansen just earned his respect that much, I think.
That's right.
I hope Vader lives.
Yeah, Vader, it's been, I get a lot of really, you see a lot of really sad notes from Vader.
Yeah.
And the thing is that's going to suck is that he's probably not going to make it into the Hall of Fame this year.
And he's probably not going to be alive after this year. So.
Oh, man. I thought he was doing better.
Well, I thought he went to DDP to try to get better. But it might have just been too little, too late at this point.
Well, was it because because of all the abuse from
just the heart? His heart's done. Like just the being a big fat guy, and in his 60s, I think is what it boils. So lose weight if you're fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lex Luger versus Dandy Spivey, which this is a very good match, by the way. Danny Spivey. You know, this is like when his
Danny Spivey's got him up for a pile driver. I see.
Yeah, he does. This was Danny Spivey's peak as a worker.
Good.
Which Danny Spivey's kind of another of those guys who it's like I kind of, you know, you read a lot of wrestling magazines and you think he's really good, and he never really amounted to a ton. I mean, he did pretty good, but he didn't do enough.
We talked about him in the last episode, but Danny Spivey should have been more than what he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is actually when Koloff came back. He's like, hey, I've got this new U.S. belt for you. And Luger was like, oh, geez, thanks. And he hit him with it.
Oh, good.
Freebirds versus Doom. This is when Doom lost the titles and Doom broke up.
And I just want to point out, so Teddy Long is going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame. But, like, did he really have a Hall of Fame career, or is it just one of those things where it's like, we like him, we're going to throw him in?
I think it's the latter, more of the latter.
Yeah.
That they stuck around. Because, I mean, beyond, I'm surprised that he was as of a prominent talent as he was in the WWE. Like, he didn't really seem to make sense.
He was the longest tenured SmackDown general manager, which that's cool and all, but is that really a Hall of Fame worthy induction?
Shit, stick Vader in there instead.
Yeah. Anybody. There's plenty.
Or are they just looking for is he the only black guy that's in there being inducted so far this year? Is that the thing?
Because you got Angle and you got the Rock and Roll Express.
I think that's it right now, right?
I can think of other black people.
Well, I mean, there's a ton of other stuff. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you have a ton of other people you can consider.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised they're not considering, I'm surprised they're not going to consider The Rock. I mean, they will. They are considering The Rock, and he'll go in there. He's definitely going in at some point.
Why isn't he in yet? I don't know. Probably because they like to have him wrestle once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what about Rocky Johnson, his dad? Is he even in it? No, I don't think he's in it.
He might be.
I don't really care. I've lost interest.
And then, of course, War Games, 91. It was the Horsemen, so it's Arn Anderson, Barry Windham. No, Arn Anderson didn't wrestle in this one. It was Barry Windham, Larry Zbysko, Sid, and Flair against the Steiners, Sting, and Brian Pillman. And this is the one where Brian Pillman got fucked up because Sid picked him up for a powerbomb and whacked his head on the top of the cage.
Oh, that's going to happen.
And knocked his ass out. And Elegante had to come run down with a towel to get him to submit. So that was how that ended, and this is a good one. This is a good bloody War Games. It's actually this is very underrated War Games. The WrestleWar 91 is quite good, guys. You should check it out.
For some reason, the WrestleWar 90, they had a rap theme song,
The Wild Thing.
Yeah, and that sticks out to my mind.
They didn't do War Games there that year, though.
Even though WrestleWar 91 is the one we're talking about.
So I guess maybe, you know what? Let's take a quick break. And we'll come back and we'll go through the rest of this book. We got a few other articles we'll chat about.
We're going to talk about Jamie Dundee coming up next. And we are back. I Googled who was supposed to be the original Undertaker, and I got that a little confused. They were originally going to have the Undertaker hatch from the egg. And they were like, no, that's stupid. We'll just debut him. And then that's how we got the gobbledygooker.
That's it?
Yeah.
Good job.
Which, okay, yeah, the gobbledygooker was stupid, but come on. I mean, really, like, why does everyone make such a big deal about how bad that was? Like, it was what it was. It was funny.
It was kids' night in 1990s.
Yeah.
Stupid bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, who cares? Like, so what? It was funny. It's not like he became, like, this wrestler, like, the gobbledygooker. Like, that was it. Like, we saw him, like, once or twice after that. As a joke, as I open my Coke Zero. Cool. But yeah, anyway, that was that. So
elsewhere in this magazine, we have the news segment, The Tattler. That was their Sports Review Wrestling's version of news.
Mm-hmm.
And just has a bunch of, you know, stuff in here about, you know, Bobby Eaton being a face, and he's going to wrestle for the TV title, and, you know, Doom breaking up. And actually, and it has some information here about Billy Jack Haynes.
Oh.
Billy Jack Haynes turning heel and being in Portland, and he's there to slap around Steve Dahl.
I'm glad Billy Jack Haynes went back to Portland.
Yeah, he always wants to be there anyways.
Yeah.
I did watch recently on YouTube, you can find like old videos of, you know, pro wrestling, you know, Portland pro wrestling, and there was this one where he was in a match. I think it was, you know, probably with whoever, just some random guy, probably the Equalizer and the Grappler or whatever. And Yeah, it did. It was the whole thing where a wrestler hits another wrestler and he thinks, oh, this guy hit me, but he really didn't, you know, and it's a misunderstanding. And then that's why somebody turns heel. So he turned heel that way. And then he goes up on stage, you know, to where the announcer, you know, or the commentator is, and he's, you know, he's healing on the fans, and he's yelling, you know, he's yelling at the fans, and the announcer's all indignant. And he, at one point, because, you know, Billy Jack Haynes used to wear trunks that said Oregon on them, and he just takes them off on stage and just stomps on them. He's like, I hate this state. This state sucks. I come here and you suck. And
was he naked?
No, he was wearing, like, you know, smaller trunks underneath. Oh. You know, for some reason, I could just imagine Billy Jack Haynes being so drugged out of his mind, you know, just taking off his trunks and being, he's like, oh, I forgot to put on the extra trunks. Oh, well, I guess I'm naked. Billy Jack Wang, more like it.
Yeah.
Also here we have our requisite Eddie Ellner column.
Some of these are pretty funny.
Eddie Ellner. So Eddie, basically, when you read any Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine, Eddie Ellner was like the heel columnist. So he has some jokes. He has a lot of jokes in here because he's basically, you know, ripping on baby faces. I like the one here about Tommy Rich. He's like, did I hear right? Is Tommy Rich really going around the NWA with a championship belt? Okay, it's a six-man title, which is about as prestigious as going down to Sears men's department and buying a belt there. But still.
Yeah.
Which I will say, though, I would get if that's the belt I had as a wrestler, I'd be very happy with it. And that was a very unique belt, the six-man belt, because it was kind of it wasn't a big wide rectangle. It was more of like a small rectangle in the middle. Like, it was smaller. It was because it was six men. You had to take the size of a regular belt and split it amongst three men.
Didn't he, I remember Big Josh being a six man tag champ at one point.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, him, Z Man, and I think Dustin Rhodes. Yeah. They were what, that's what it was.
So this Eddie Ellner on LinkedIn only has, yoga soup.
Yeah, so it's not the same. He's not a real man.
Damn.
So what did you like in this one? You said some stuff in here that you liked, some jokes in here.
Yeah, I was going to say. There was that one was a good one, though, one about the Sears. So this is a pretty funny one, too. Vince McMahon began howling and screaming about 100,000 fans flocking to Los Angeles' Coliseum for WrestleMania 7 before WrestleMania 6 was even half over, and continued to howl and scream for nearly a full year before moving the event to the modest LA Sports Arena. Remember that the next time you feel yourself getting suckered into buying a pay-per-view event because you want to see what comes out of a giant egg or some other such piece of nonsensical WWF drabble. That I thought was pretty funny. And then there was another one. How many Hulk Hogans does it take to screw in a light bulb? None. He prefers to sit in the dark so you can't see how bald he really is. Those are pretty funny, I thought.
That's actually a really that Hulk Hogan joke is really good. And I kinda wanna tell that at an open mic and just see if somebody might notice this. Hey guys, I got a good Hulk Hogan chunk. We have a few articles in here about the AWA losing its world title status.
Well, it did lose its world title status.
But the wrestling Illuminati that do this magazine.
Well, this was Bill Apter. This is like a main article here written by the man himself.
Bill Apter had enough of the AWA being basically a shit promotion at this time.
But it had a national TV deal. It was on ESPN.
Well, it did, but he, you know, it was, I mean, I'm not saying it's a shit promotion. I mean, it was bad. It was, you know, Lee Marshall and the Team Challenge series. And
I mean, TNA's bad right now, but we're not going to take away the world title status.
Again, I haven't read a wrestling magazine in a long time. Does TNA have a recognized world heavyweight status, champion status?
Oh, that's a good question.
And is it, you know, I mean, I don't know. But they talk a lot about the legacy of the NWA and how basically, you know, once Larry Zbyszko won it in a battle royal, it was downhill from there, you know, but
it's almost as bad as winning your WrestleMania title shot in a battle royal on SmackDown.
Yeah. Or I mean, shit, I wonder if back when, what's his face? David, David Fuckface, David Arquette won the championship on Thunder. Like, why didn't they, did they revoke the world title status then? Because why is an actor winning it based on, you know, just being there? Because that's essentially what happens.
I don't know. I don't think they ever revoked the world title status for WCW. We'll find out in later episodes when we get to like those years.
When we actually read a magazine from those years, because you know, when we get if we could find one,
yeah,
because those are a little bit harder to come by. Yeah, so they talk about that, and then there's,
I like the Nick Bockwinkel quote.
Oh, or yeah,
the, somewhat of a quote there. Go ahead and read it. It's upside down for me.
Was this one here?
No, the, or whatever. The, I like the caption. That's all I read.
With four, okay. Four-time NWA, or, sorry, four-time former AWA World Champion is dismayed. AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel is dismayed by the AWA's loss of world title status, but he says he understands the reasons for our decision.
I don't think he was ever asked, and I don't think he gave a shit.
Nope, I don't think he cares. I think he was just like, you know what, I'm doing all right.
Yeah,
I'm just living a retired man. Because Nick Bockwinkel just died, like, what, last year?
Yeah, not too long ago.
He lived a long time.
Yeah, and this was in between his AWA stint, and then he became the WCW commissioner.
Yeah.
A few years later.
My other thing here, okay, wrestling answers. This mm-hmm. is great. Question of the month, who do you consider to be the most influential man in the sport? And the way that they do this is they just have a bunch of pictures of wrestlers. And they have quotes
mm-hmm.
underneath saying, you know, answering the question. And they just ask, you know, do you, you know, Larry Zbysko and Tom Pritchard and Scott Steiner. Some of my favorites, though, Jeff Jarrett is asked. Jeff Jarrett looking very odd because this is 1991 Jeff Jarrett, who had lots of hair. And in this picture, he has a slicked back like he's some sort of like 1980s stockbroker.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's Jerry Lawler. Yeah, thanks.
Chief Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, and that's the other one. Who the fuck is Chief Thunder Mountain? Who the heck is Chief Thunder Mountain?
He looks like Chief Down Syndrome Mountain. Look at this guy.
He looks, I don't know who he is. I think he's, I thought he was Chief. It was Rocky Mountain Thunder. There was a wrestler named Rocky Mountain Thunder that wrestled in AWA who was really bad. But this is Chief Thunder Mountain. And he basically goes, well, you know, the best, most influential people are all these Native American wrestlers that I respect, you know, and Wahoo McDaniel and blah, 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 you know. And but he looks like if Dusty Rhodes ate Joe Gomez. And, I don't know. I've never heard of this guy, and I've watched wrestling my entire life.
I've never heard of him either.
And I know that if you listen to the show, and if you know who Chief Thunder Mountain is, or if you are Chief Thunder Mountain, please.
That's a possibility.
It's a possibility that you are not listening to the podcasts. And how, you know, 30 years later. Is it 30? No, like 25.
Okay, it's not him because he died.
Who is it?
Chief Thunder Mountain unfortunately passed away Labor Day weekend in 1991. This is like right before his death.
Was this the last photo before he was taken? Wait, Chief left photo before he died? Wait, yeah. So who was he though?
I don't know. He doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
Who did he, where did he wrestle?
I'm just looking at his Obsessed with Wrestling page, and all it says is he's dead.
How is he a fat Indian Native American wrestler?
Why are all the Indian wrestlers chiefs, by the way? Tatanka was the only one who wasn't a chief. How many, you ever go to work and there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians? That's how it is in wrestling. There's too many chiefs. Chief Jay Strongbow, Chief Wahoo McDaniel, Chief Thunder Mountain. I think Chief Jewel Strongbow, Jay Strongbow's brother, was a chief. Too many chiefs.
Well, there's Bobby Bald Eagle. He wasn't a chief.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chief Thunder Mountain.
The last photo alive of Chief Thunder Mountain was printed in Sports Review Wrestling number June 19, 1991. You might as well add his tombstone to the cover here.
Dave Mosier was his name. Alias Chief Thunder Mountain.
Oh, God.
Place of birth, White River, South Dakota. Gender,
was
male.
That kayfabe birth or is that actual placement?
Matches, zero pay-per-view. They have a video of him doing a, guess it's a terrible promo on YouTube. We'll watch that later.
Yeah, we're not watching that. I want to see him wrestle. Who did he wrestle? Where did he wrestle?
He formed a tag team with Crusher Kong, according to Wikipedia.
Who the fuck is Crusher Kong?
Birth name Scott Thompson.
Is it one of the awesome Kongs?
King Kong, Big Hoss, McAllister, Meat.
Meat?
Texas Terminator Hoss.
Wait, Meat? Like as in Sean Stasiak Meat?
No.
Okay, we got to move on. Yeah, let's just jump right to the
ring. No, he also teamed up with Awesome Kong, was Crusher Kong.
Okay, so then that was one of the Kongs, because remember, yeah. WCW, there was the Kongs. Which one of them is dead?
Yeah.
I can't remember which one.
It's not Crusher Kong.
R.I.P. Kongs.
But Chief Thunder Mountain is dead.
Oh, he's dead, yeah.
But he doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, I think we should change that. We could make a Wikipedia page for him.
We could, but Wikipedia, we don't know anything about him.
Chief Thunder Mountain was discussed on I Could Talk Kayfabe at length.
this is probably more press than he's ever gotten when he was a wrestler.
I didn't know, because that's one of the things we were looking. I was looking at this magazine. I go, who the fuck is Chief Thunder Mountain, and why are you talking to him?
Before we get into the ratings, I just wanted to touch real quick. There was that article about Jamie Dundee.
Oh yeah, we're supposed to talk about.
He turned on his father. That's basically the whole article. He's feuding.
That's all you literally need to know about Jamie Dundee is that he turned on his father. Then he became a rapper in a militant black group,
and he wanted to be known as JC Ice. And he was known as JC Ice for a long time. He was part of PG-13. So there was a feud between Jamie Dundee and Bill Dundee. And Jamie Dundee had a ridiculous outfit in that picture that he was in. It was like almost like a Zubaz, MC Hammer. I don't know how to explain it.
And I will say this too. In Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazines, they talked about his feud with his father forever.
Sorry, Jamie Dundee. We didn't cover you much more.
Yeah, no.
Chief Thunder Mountain. Jamie Dundee might actually be listening to this. His shoot interviews are great.
I heard he's one of those guys who I've never seen a shoot interview with him, but I've always heard a lot. He's a very good storyteller. He's always got lots to say.
I'm definitely a Jamie Dundee mark. I will create a Jamie Dundee in my game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. I will create Chief Thunder Mountain if I could ever find a picture of him in his wrestling gear and not just his head. Just to sit with his wrestler's body. His wrestler's body is quite yoked. What kind of outfit did he wear? I don't know. So the ratings here: Flair's champion, Slaughter's champion. AWA is no longer even.
AWA's over here.
It's over here.
Title vacant.
Title vacant.
It's relegated in the corner with all these other, like the LPWA and IWA and Georgia.
I do like. Actually, I'm pretty fascinated here by the AWA rankings. Tatsumi Fujinami. Number 3. And this is shortly before Super Brawl, the first Super Brawl, where he won the NWA title, a WCW title.
Mm-hmm.
So what the hell is he doing over here? I don't know.
He's ranked ahead of Colonel DeBeers.
He is, yeah.
And Buck Zumoff.
And Mike Enos.
Yeah. And Wayne Bloom.
Well, the Beverly Brothers getting the shaft over there.
Jake the Milkman Milliman.
Although Tommy Jammer, number 1.
Yeah.
Tommy Jammer, I believe he used maybe I'm thinking about another guy. He used a hip toss as his finisher.
Oh, watch out for those hip tosses.
Watch out for that. What else here? Kerry Von Erich, number 6 in WWF.
Yeah.
That's pretty high for him in 19... I mean, well, you know, he's just fresh. He's not that far off of losing the Intercontinental title, but he's definitely on the way down.
Yeah, he's definitely on the way down. I think he's only there for name recognition.
Yeah.
Like, why is the Mountie even on the list?
Yeah, well, the Mountie, this is March 91, so he just debuted.
Oh, okay.
And he's probably only wrestled, like, what, Tito and Coco Beware at this time, but he hasn't wrestled anybody.
Greg Valentine coming in at number 10.
Greg Valentine, well, this is right, he was, you know.
So Slaughter was the champ.
Face turn, yeah.
Henning was the Intercontinental champ, then you had Hogan, Roddy Piper, Ultimate Warrior, Undertaker.
What the hell is Piper doing in here, though? Because Piper wasn't really wrestling at this time.
No, he was, like, doing announcing by then. Like, he wasn't really a full-time wrestler.
No, he didn't. I mean, this is the thing. This is coming up on WrestleMania 91, and he was, like, that's when he was.
When he feud with Bad News Brown? Is that?
No, no, this is when he was wearing, he was ringside in on the crutch.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was in Virgil's corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Virgil cut that promo. Ted DiBiase at WrestleMania. You're going to spell man. VIRGIL.
That's a pretty good promo. I'm not going to lie. I'm glad he did that.
I when I met DiBiase and Virgil, I cut the promo on Virgil and he just laughed at me.
And then he made you pay for it.
He made me pay $30 for a picture with him. And I asked Ted DiBiase, I was like, you're the $1 million man. What do you need my $30 for? And his response was, how do you think I became the $1 million man? And then I looked at him and I said, do the laugh. And he did the laugh.
Tag teams. You pointed out here, Rick and Scott Steiner, U.S. Tag Team Champions, higher than the Freebirds, who are NWA Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, they're the world champs, but the U.S. champs are somehow higher than them. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And the Hart Foundation, number one.
Hart Foundation were the WWF champs at the time. Yeah. So, what else in here? This is the thing I didn't quite understand. So, number 10, Grappler and the Equalizer, number one contenders to the PNW Tag Title. Now, are the PNW Tag Team Champions on this list?
I don't see them.
They're not. Why are they not? I don't understand what that doesn't make sense to me. And then we also have...
Maybe they had just lost the tag titles in the PNW.
But then why not put the champions in that spot instead of putting the Grappler and the Equalizer
in
there?
That's true.
You know, or do you have to have Power and Glory in there? At number four contenders?
Or the Young Pistols, for that matter.
Yeah, who cares if they're contending the U.S. Tag Team Champions?
Yeah.
Hell, they even got a picture in here in their Confederate cosplay.
Yeah, and the Rockers are in there.
Yeah, the Rockers are in there.
They're
on
the verge of breaking up around this time.
Yeah, it's getting close. No, this is WrestleMania 8 or 7, so they still have to fight Haku and Barbarian.
That's true.
So they still got plenty of time. There's still plenty of time for these tag teams to do stuff. Yeah, that's really about it. Do you have anything else you want to say here?
Well, USWA, I'm just looking at that. The USWA champion was Terry Funk.
He was, yeah.
And I didn't even realize that he was a USWA champion.
He would go over there a few times, and then he would be
see,
a champ.
I didn't get USWA on television until the mid-90s, so I like...
Well, neither did I.
Yeah, it's like I missed all this early USWA stuff. It's slowly coming on the network, but it's not quite there yet.
Well, they don't own it.
Yeah, but there is USWA on the network.
There's like certain stuff they do own. Like they own certain parts of the Global.
Yeah.
They own certain parts of.
Yeah, and it's all like USWA from the Dallas Sportatorium. It's not the Memphis stuff.
Yeah, you can't get the Memphis stuff.
Yeah. And I just didn't know Terry Funk was a champ and Eric Embry's there. And Eric Embry's probably the Southern champ, which is why he's number one.
Well, Eric Embry was back when he came back and he was with Pritchard and.
Yeah.
They were the Texas boys, I think it was.
And you have, look at this list, though. You have Lawler, then you have Steve Austin, you have Jeff Jarrett, Eddie Gilbert, and then it gets to, like, crap guys. But
Tony Anthony. Dirty White Boy.
Yeah.
T.L. Hopper. Dirty White Boy was dope. And Awesome Kong.
Yeah. Oh, Awesome Kong's number 10.
Yeah,
yeah,
he's it's the.
Oh, and Tom Pritchard. Okay, I guess this is a pretty good list.
This is a who's who of USWA 91. You can't do any worse than this.
And where was PNW? Is that Portland?
That's Portland,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so you have Steve Dahl's the champ. And then Scott Norton. Yeah, see, this is interesting because I didn't have access to a lot of these other stuff.
See, I only knew this stuff from reading these books.
Yeah.
So I would only be like, oh, I get all these things. So
yeah.
You know, and I will say, I've watched a few of these on YouTube, Steve Sawyer was also known as Bart Sawyer, and he did a Bart Simpson gimmick where he looked basically like a really tan Bart Simpson.
Oh.
And he was super kid-centric kind of face, you know, when he's like, hey, dudes, I'm Bart Steve Simpson, you know, and it's actually kind of embarrassing to watch.
It's creepy, and I don't want to hear about it. And then I'm just looking at this one on the end here, this IWCCW. I don't know where that is, but I see Tasmaniac on the
list. You don't remember IWCCW?
No.
You don't remember that? Oh, shit. That used to be... Now, this was a thing.
Chief Thunder Mountain's on that
list. Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
He's number 9.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
We now know where Chief Thunder Mountain wrestled.
Well... Now that's why I never heard of him, because he was wrestling in IWCCW back in 1991. Basically, IWCCW was ICW, which was the Boston, like it was like a Boston indie.
Okay.
And they merged with World Class, whatever was left of World Class at the time that wasn't merged with, you know, USWA and all that. So that's why Kevin Von Erich is in here, because they would always be like, oh my God, we're like this big international thing, and we've got Kevin Von Erich, and Kevin Von Erich would only just show up and just cut yeah. video promos, but he never wrestled.
I see Kevin Von Erich's the number two guy overall.
He's number two, but and now right now there's no champion, but the joke was you would watch IWCCW because it used to be on Empire. Or whatever Empire was before it was Empire. I'm blanking on what it was. Empire Network.
So we got this in Buffalo?
We did. I've watched it.
Oh, wow.
And it was only and the only thing they would show, because you know, the only thing they show on TV was Vic Steamboat and Tony Atlas wrestling for the IWCCW title, and Tony Atlas wins by reversing a crossbody and holding the tights. Taz Maniac, of course, you know Taz. Mondo Clean, Damian Demento.
Okay, yeah.
Who is not listed as being from the outer regions of your mind.
No.
He's from some place in China. Big Sweet Williams. I don't know who that is. I'm assuming he teamed with Chief Thunder Mountain. Joe Salvoldi, who's was a big name in the, you know, the tri-state region.
Was he a jobber in WWF?
Probably at some point.
I think that name sounds familiar.
Curly Moe, who basically was a... And I've seen this. He was a hip-hop version of Curly from the Three Stooges.
Okay.
He was a big, fat, big, bald, fat guy who did the Ghetto Blaster as his finisher.
Is he like PN News?
But bigger. Like, imagine, wow. Imagine, yeah, like, actually, maybe he was about to say, he's 5'55". So PN News, yeah, PN News was not 5'55".
No.
PN News was maybe like 330 or something like that. Yeah, this was the big, fat dude. And he wrestled, and he was one of those like very kid-centric kind of wrestlers.
I'm really sad that I missed out on this promotion.
You should look this stuff up because it's something where if you can find some stuff, there's some really like interesting like time capsule kind of stuff of like guys like Tommy Dreamer. You know, when he was TD Madison, and he used to wrestle in there. I remember this very vividly. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. Do you have anything else you wanted to say here?
No, that's it. That's this episode, or this issue, this whatever you want to call it, of the podcast. I Could Talk Kayfabe. So that was the 90s.
That was it. That was all the 90s. Nothing else happened in the 90s in wrestling.
That was 1991. In a later episode, we'll get to a later 90s, and we'll talk about the Attitude Era. But we're not going to do that right now. Right now we're just doing that one. I'm rambling here.
But that's it for this week's show. For this show, we'll be up on iTunes, and if
we're on iTunes, guys,
we'll be on iTunes. And if you think we're good, and you want to give us 5 stars, give us 5 stars. Review us. Give us 5 stars. Leave a comment. You know, but definitely give us 5 stars. And just you can say whatever you want to say on the show. You guys are great. I'm Chief Thunder Mountain. 5 stars. Leave it. And tell your friends. Tell your friends about the show.
Tell your friends.
And you can find us on Twitter at I'm at Angry Hero Sean. And
Sweatpants Joe, also on Instagram, YouTube, everything.
Yeah, so do it up.
And if you want to send us a magazine, by all means, contact us on Twitter. We'll be more than happy to. We'll take any magazines we get. They have to be kayfabe magazines, though.
Yeah, don't send us that World Wrestling real ass shit.
Yeah.
Can't even though I would read it, I don't want to see it.
I would just rip the pictures out and hang them on the wall.
All right, folks. We'll see you again next time.